And we have the round table together. Jim Donovan from the Browns Radio Network, Doug Deacon, also from that side of the team, and then Tom Withers from the Associated Press. Guys, let's start with, I don't know where to start, Jimmy. I'm going to start, I guess, with the disappointment, because the expectation, I say it on two fronts. Cincy and the offensive performance there was hopeful.
Right.
And it was the Buffalo Bills
Absolutely.
Who looked like a team that this team could beat.
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think that was the feeling going into the game, was that we're on that escalator going up and that the offensive performance was good. In Cincinnati, it's going to build, and everyone was excited to see what Trent Richardson would do and that Brandon Whedon would carry on. And but the start of the game really put them, you know, behind the eight ball all day long. I mean, in every phase of the football game, they failed offensively, defensively, special teams, gave up punt returns that put the Bills at the 42 and the 49. And then, you know, tactically, Buffalo just worked their way down the field. So that's the disappointment.
You know, Doug, Coach Shermer, we heard in his news conference, and he's on the show too, talked about, answered questions regarding the team's flat, being flat or not ready to play, and he said he doesn't believe in that. He said the guys were ready to play, but when you see a team struggle out of the gate, and again, looking at it from also a player's perspective, what happens there when execution isn't occurring, and it certainly looks to the naked eye like you don't look ready to play, but if that's the case, what's missing?
No, I think they were ready to play. I think it was the lack of execution. I mean, you get a fumble on the first completion. Instead of having a very more workable second and two, you end up with a second and nine. Then you miss on a pass that you don't know if the receiver's route was short enough or if he just extended it and the ball is low and you don't come up with it. I think all games, there's, you know, a couple series where, you know, at the beginning of the game, there's, you know, some butterflies and stuff like that, but there shouldn't have been. That was just a case of execution.
Yeah, you know, I've said it the last three times we've gotten together, you know, playmakers got to make plays as well, and I didn't see very many broken tackles yesterday. I saw a couple more drop passes.
Yep.
You know, just the continual self-inflicted wounds that this team, with no margin of error, with a young team where you're going to have inconsistency, you just can't have it.
And the youth conversation really kind of stops.
Yeah.
I mean, three games into it, and Coach Shermer says this too, Tom, that you can't just blame it on being young anymore.
No, but, I mean, it's legitimate, but you're right. But
with 15 rookies.
But you also have, you know, enough veterans on that team, and, you know, Doug has, I'm sure, been on teams that are young, and you're going to have the growing pains, but at some point, you know, you got to start winning games, you got to start executing, you got to stay on your block, you got to catch the ball.
Yeah. Well, it's a chemistry thing. I mean, you don't have the chemistry to execute together. You know, you got different pieces and parts in there, but you know, you've got to execute.
You know, the other thing too, I think, is you're going to see a strategy happen here, and it's going to be right on the coin toss. I think people are going to defer on them if they win the coin toss and put that offense out on the field and say, hey, listen, I don't think they're going to move it. I think we're going to tip the field and get field position right away in the ballgame. I mean, you know, Cincinnati did it 2 weeks ago, and it worked. And, of course, the Browns ended up winning the toss yesterday.
Yeah. And, you know, it was brought up with Coach Shermer today. You know, Reggie Hodges is not kicking the ball like he did a couple of years ago.
No.
I don't know if that Achilles injury is lingering, but he's just not been the same guy, and the coverage has been bad.
Yeah. Well, I think part of that is, you know, yesterday they were trying a directional kick,
right,
and he wasn't directional kicking in the right direction.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure that's what he does.
Yeah, but well, I don't think he does it very well. That's not one of his
strengths. He's one of his strong points. Jim, Brandon Whedon, do we trying to assess a rookie quarterback from week to week is going to be a challenging process. There's going to be so many ups and downs. You're going to see new things or tries to explore new areas and types of throws and whatever in his game. We're getting evidence, I guess, as to what he can handle, what he can't handle, and it's still an ongoing process. But I just wonder how much of a setback yesterday is, to the extent that even though he made some throws, there were those misfires or at least the plays that didn't look so good where he was trying to go deep and that either was there enough air in the ball?
Right.
Was the timing right? Yeah. It just looks like something's missing there. And is that just a function of he's just got to work with these guys longer or what do we say?
Or I think he's just got to hit one of them.
Yeah.
You know, I just think the longer it goes on, it becomes like even a bigger hurdle for him to get over just to drop one over the top and get somebody. I mean, they were more pronounced open yesterday, I thought, than they were in the previous weeks. I mean, I thought Cameron was open. I thought Benjamin was by his guy.
Yeah.
So I thought the throws were there for him. But yet, even in the full body of work yesterday, there were times I thought he looked okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I thought he looked comfortable when he got time to throw. I thought the ball to Benjamin in the end zone was perfect. I thought the throws to Jordan Cameron were really good. He saw it, he delivered it, and it was right on the money. But I think until he lands one of those, I mean, I think once that happens, maybe it's like turnovers. Maybe they'll just come in bushels after that.
Yeah.
The one that Jordan, it almost looked like Jordan mistimed his jump a little bit as he went up. And but, you know, Jordan had a very productive day, and I think, you know, we're going to see a lot more of Cameron. But by the same token, you miss an Alex Smith because he gives you that flexibility to be a tight end / H-back.
Mm-hmm. And they missed Massaquoi in the second half yesterday.
That's where I was going, too.
Because
he's got time. That's if there's one guy that Brandon Whedon's comfortable with of all of them, it looks like Mo Mass.
They've got a little connection, yeah. And these other passes they were talking about missing are rookie to rookie, rookie to second-year tight end who hasn't played a whole heck of a lot. So there's some execution issues that can be blamed on the youth.
And, you know, I think maybe because of that, the Massaquoi going out, I think Pat might have been limited on what he was able to do in coaching discipline in the game. Like, I think maybe he wanted to sit Greg Little a little bit yesterday for dropping the ball or maybe posing after a catch. But I think he was so limited when Massaquoi went out that, I mean, you know, you're young on young here.
Sure.
Okay, so you can't really prove your point because you're so limited. And Massaquoi's over there nursing a hamstring.
Well, and then based on the reaction after that drop on the sideline, I'm not even sure they wanted Greg Little in the locker room at halftime.
This is the round table. It is Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Yeah, a lot of questions about Greg Little coming up today in the news conference and people bringing up the whole posing thing and attitude thing. So what's the situation there? I still see a guy who has talent, but is his head and his body connected the way they should be?
Well, and because, you know, as you just said, we're answering those questions, but we answered these same, asked these same questions last year.
Yeah.
We asked them after the preseason game where he punted the ball into the stands, you know, after he scored a touchdown. So, I mean, that's a little concerning. I think we're going to see Jordan Norwood get into the game a little bit now. I think, you know, I think that Norwood could give them the possibility that they could move some people around.
Well, I think if it's a defensive back, Sheldon Brown addresses it.
Yeah.
If it's a linebacker, DeQuell addresses it.
Right.
If it's a defensive line, Ruben addresses it.
Yeah.
If it's an offensive line, Joe Thomas addresses it. If it's a running back, I think Richardson. Who's the guy that's going to be the voice for the wide receivers?
Yeah. Well, how does that play, though, Doug? If you have a wide receiver, can an offensive lineman approach him and talk to him about that?
Oh, a player can approach him. I mean, it's like you're getting in somebody else's business, but it's really everybody's business because it's a team.
Right.
And, you know, somebody's got to be vocal on the offensive side, you know, and stand up and say something. I mean, even Brandon Whedon. I mean, hey. Yeah, you're a rookie quarterback, but you know it's your ship that you're the admiral.
No, he's the admiral. And just for the record, I mean, Pat Shurmur said it multiple times.
Yes.
This is not going unnoticed or unattended. He's dealing with it as a coach, and really, it has to be that as much as anything else. I hear Doug's point about hearing it from within, but the head coach says that it's being addressed.
He's been having private sessions with Greg Little since day one, because I know Mike Holmgren made that a point last year as well, right after training camp, to bring make Greg Little kind of the pet project, and something's not connecting.
The players in general have addressed it.
Yeah,
and it's just a matter of. You're almost at a point, you know, do you do it with jeopardized maybe a chance of, you know, winning because he is a productive player when he's on? Or, I mean, is it going to set you back? I think you don't start him or do something. Catch his attention.
What if you do the old Gene Hackman routine in Hoosiers where the referee comes over and says, Coach, you only have four on the floor. And he
play
says,
with, I've played with 10.
That's my team. What if we go with
10 this week?
What if we make a statement, Vic, and go with 10?
Play a man down.
I'm not loving that one.
I like to go to film, kind of analogies.
You said that you do. The running game. Talking about something else that just didn't go well, and we saw this. This is twice in three games where it just couldn't get started and never got any life to it. And here we are looking at what that meant to the passing game, which would be a real dilemma because the Bills could crank up their rush, and as the Eagles did. And I wonder, seeing Trent Richardson play as he did against Cincinnati, and you saw the hope there, and that was a pretty big physical defensive front. Why are we seeing the running game stall as much as it did twice now?
Boy, I don't know. I'll defer to Doug on that. But I would imagine Buffalo just came in and said, listen, we're going to keep him quiet. We're going to throw
everybody's
everything at him.
Everybody's going to.
Well, I think so. I don't think that was achieved at 3 o'clock in the morning when he was looking at film. Yeah. I think everybody knew that. So, I have to defer to you on that. No, you have the eagle eyes on that.
No. I think, you know, when Brandon hit a couple passes, all of a sudden the running game looked like, you know, we had something maybe to start to go. And yesterday with the rain and everything, it kind of took away some of your perimeter game because it's hard to get on the outside. But with that said, you know, I'm not sure if we have an identity in the running game. We're not a team where we pull our guards to get them out in space, like we did when we had Steinbach. We're not a team that run a lot of stretch plays, you know, real well. So we've got to get an identity in our running game, you know, get something that has, you know, will work for us and, you know, fits the personnel.
And we don't have that change of pace, to Doug's point. We don't have that guy that's kind of hitting the seam or whatever, where then you run it inside and you can kind of work off each other.
And it's understandable. You want to have the ball in Trent's hands as much as possible, but it's hard when he's got it in his hands and then a defender's got his hands on him behind the line of scrimmage. Defensively, a lot of struggles there. We saw that. And, Jim, I just think that I'm not pressing any kind of a panic alarm here because I think there's still some core players who are good. Trying to overcome Joe Hayden is still going to be a problem, and two more games of that. But in general, and with Baltimore and that passing game that looked pretty scary last night, I just wonder what else can be done by Dick Geron in the chess piece movement that can make up for some things.
You know, I don't know, Vic, I tell you, I thought Screen got a little better and more confident as the game went on. I thought he made a couple of, like, NFL plays at the end of the game. And I thought he, you know... but boy, I tell you what, in the red zone, Buffalo is frighteningly open, and you worry about that happening. I worry about Ray Rice getting out on those wheel routes that he really scorched the Browns on last year. And I think Fujita and Maiava, you know, right now just have problems out in space, and I think they get a little bit exposed out there.
Yeah, and you were playing a pretty unorthodox offense yesterday. It's not one that you do a lot. And I think the younger kids get – because, you know, when DeQuell picked Buster, I mean, I'm going to put my money on – DeQuell probably knew where he was supposed to be, you know, and Buster probably has to adjust to DeQuell. But, you know, with that said, I thought Sheldon Brown showed, you know, how you tackle when a guy's in the open field. I mean, he came up there with a couple good open field tackles where the week before – we had problems with that, and the play was, you know, it was yards after the catch that you shouldn't have had.
So maybe these are the good things I'm going to cite. I'm going to cite that it's a short week, therefore you can't dwell on what happened yesterday. As the team I'm talking about, us. We can dwell all we want, but that. And then the other thing is the Ravens end up winning this dramatic emotional game, a late Sunday night game. So maybe that takes a little wind out of them, and they're not focused. I don't know. I'm reaching.
It's time to get back up at the plate. You just struck out, but you're up again. So
right.
Here we go. And hey, you know, as we've all seen over the last few years, the Browns seem to come out of nowhere when we least expect them to. So I think everybody's got to hold on to that this week.
Well, the Browns have a younger team, so I think, you know, younger guys bounce back on a short week more so than older guys. But
physically,
the Ravens have a very veteran defense that, you know, they don't have to make a lot of game plans because they've been doing the same thing for a long time.
Vic, this is as tough a place to play, I think, as there is in the NFL. This is a place that is really intimidating and becomes like a huge college football stadium. They have captured that atmosphere, and they feed off of that.
All right, gentlemen, the roundtable, Jim Donovan, Doug Deacon, Tom Withers. Much more is coming up on Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford. You're listening to ESPN 850 WKNR.